Sure, that's the right reason, yeah. The Chris Moyle Show. Not because you're rubbish or out.
No. International Radio. It's 8:10.
Let's bring in Mr. Jack D, who I can't believe is here. Look, it's Jack D, everybody.
Morning.
Hooray!
Very nice to
Hooray you. For Jack D.
Hi.
Thank you very
this
much.
This is nice and early for Jack D.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's great. I don't mind getting up early. It makes me feel like I'm doing something, you know, worthwhile.
It's good to get your day started early.
Yeah, yeah. I found when the clocks went back, didn't it make the day drag?
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, well, God, I kept looking at my watch. It was the wrong time. I thought, oh, there's another hour to go. Oh.
See, I love the clocks going back because I just got back from New York. Yeah, so I needed an extra hour.
It's always met you halfway, hasn't it?
I felt as though they'd done it especially for me.
Did you have a nice holiday?
I did. It was too short.
Yeah, they always are, aren't they? That's
and I probably went to the wrong place to relax by going to one of the busiest cities in the world.
I suppose so, yes. Yeah, well, you're a 24-hour kind of guy, though, aren't you?
Yeah.
No.
No. Well, I'm not because I live in London, which is supposedly a 24-hour city, as long as you do everything between 11 a.m. and 11 p.m.
Yeah, as long as you don't want anything to eat after about 10:30. Yeah.
That's right.
And 10:30 on a Sunday because it's early closing, isn't it, on a Sunday?
But you well, but you've got kids, so you you must get up.
Yes,
early
it's
with the
not
kids.
So bad. I mean, it's, also it's half term, so
right.
And also my kids are a little bit older now, so they're not. The eldest one's 17, so it's actually
really you've got 7, but you're so young.
Yeah, I know, Chris. I know. It's amazing, isn't it? But the boys are 11. I've got 11-year-old twin boys,
right.
And another girl is 14. So they're not quite so early.
Mm. Right.
One of them gets up a bit early to get his gaming in, you know, before he goes to school.
Do you know what he plays?
He's big into Halo at the moment.
Right,
that seems
okay.
to be the thing. They both play Halo a lot, and I've never been able to sort of catch up with what goes on. But they've had Grand Theft Auto. I had to. I think I had to remove that because I didn't really like the tone of it. To be honest,
it's about stealing cars
it's
and
not
hurting
very
people.
Nice. I had no idea. You see, this will be me.
So
mine.
Shooting people in space.
Yeah,
that's all right.
As long as it's in space. Yeah,
sure.
That's fair enough.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah.
Oh, you should get them into Call of Duty. I'd love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Cool stuff.
That's how you spend most afternoons, isn't it?
No, it's how I used to. But now I'm busy.
Yeah, but given half a chance, you like to sit there in your underpants playing Call of Duty.
That's how I used to live until... But not anymore. I've moved on, Jack. I'm mature and sensible these
You
days.
Don't do it so much now.
No, I don't.
Now you discovered Twitter.
Are you on the Twitter?
I'm not on the Twitter, no. I've done... I don't know if I'd have time to just keep telling people all the little stuff that I do. You know, and I wouldn't want to get any feedback.
Mm.
And a lot of the stuff I do is so mundane, I think people would go off me very quickly and think, oh, he's peeling potatoes now. Who wants to know? You know, is that the stuff you put on? Do you, that kind of
yeah,
thing?
Everything.
Pretty much.
I don't know where people find the time. People like Philip Schofield, who seems to be on there all the...
Yeah.
I tell you what it is, if you've got it on your phone...
Yeah, but he must...
That's when you know, because then you can just take it out of your pocket. You're sitting in the back of a taxi and you go, do you know what, I'll just put something on there and I'll read what people are saying, and it's quite nice.
Yeah.
I think the main thing with Twitter is if you're in a cafe or something on your own or in a pub, it makes it look like you're not actually that lonely, you know, because it looks like you've got something to do. You're talking to someone even if they're not there.
Sure, that's...
You have invisible friends, in other words.
But also, imagine if you were in a pub somewhere on your own in a foreign country and maybe put on Twitter where you were and then had people turn up to find you.
You could have that as well.
You could have that, which is what he did in New York, weirdly. And people turned up.
It was a bit weird.
It was very
but
weird.
It was a nice...
Show Jack the picture at the end of the night.
No.
Go on.
It was come down, and if you want to come down and...
Come down with me.
Join us in a bar, then you can do.
And how many turned up?
About kind of 8 or 9, but this is in New York.
Fantastic.
Yeah, look at this.
So that's us outside.
Blimey.
The bar at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Some quite attractive young people there.
Really?
You garnered.
Everyone looks attractive at 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
The only thing is, next door, obviously sold, well, as you can see behind, everybody thought we went drinking at a Cuban cuisine place because the sign over everyone's head.
Oh, yeah.
But that was for next door, by the way. I want to say this authentic Irish bar in New York did not do Cuban cuisine. So, Jack, congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
And also, congratulations on your honorary degree.
Oh, yes, that happened the other day from Winchester University, where I grew up in Winchester.
Right.
And they very, very sweetly a few years ago, actually, they asked me if I would accept an honorary degree, and I said, well, what for? And they said, well, you're because you've been about a bit, we think you should have one, and I said, I'd love one, yeah, it'd be great, thank you very much, and I agreed to go, and then I realised I'd made a terrible mistake, and I hadn't looked in my diary properly. I was going to be away on holiday,
right?
So I had to then write an embarrassed letter saying, I'm really sorry, I've messed up, I can't get the honorary degree. But then they said, come back and get it this year. So I'm actually the first person ever who's failed their honorary degree first time round. I had to resit it. So and the great thing, Sir David Frost got one at the same time. So that really added a real bit of kudos.
What, the same day you were there?
The same
together?
Day I was sat next to him.
Wow, what a showbiz day for
Sir
Winchester.
David. Yeah, exactly.
You and David Frost, yeah. The Nixon man.
Yes, yes.
And the man of shooting stars.
Yeah, and he started asking me questions, you know, with David Frost. You think, oh, careful, I'm not going to careful what I give away here. He'll crack me like he cracked Nixon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's going to get everything out of you.
Everything.
So what do you get when you get an honorary degree?
You have to put on a gown and a hat that look like a Tudor type hat, or like a hat that you know your nan wears, and then you walk down the this was in the cathedral,
right?
And someone from the university sort of bigs you up with a little bit of a speech, and then you come in and respond to that, and then you shake hands with the chancellor, and you get given a cylindrical box with a degree inside it, a piece of paper saying that this is what it is. You weren't any good at school, but this is making up for it now.
Right.
Mm.
But it's like, and forgive my, pardon my ignorance, no. And I don't want to take anything away from you from this made-up degree, but it's a degree in what, or is it just a degree?
Well, I'm now I'm a man of letters now, a doctor of letters, in fact, a doctor of letters. Yeah, I don't quite know what it's for, really. I think it's the whole thing is associated, the university kind of associating itself with you and vice versa. It's a bit of that, and because it's my hometown, I think that it's decided to bring me in on it.
But do you have?
I'm not qualified to operate on anyone.
Right, okay.
I can't do that. I can't prescribe drugs or anything.
So you are now Jack D what?
I think it's DDLons. I think that's
where you get your driving license.
That's DVLA.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, it sounds a bit like that, doesn't it? Yeah.
DDLons.
I think that's what it was, yeah. I did ask what are the letters after my name now, and they no one seemed to be quite sure. But at least now I can get a proper job.
But did you have any, I use the word real without being offensive, do you have a real degree?
No, I don't.
All
no.
right, okay. So that's nice.
No, so I didn't go to university, and I didn't, I was very, not very good at school. I didn't do very well at all at school. And that was one of the things. My kids came along to this degree ceremony. And I had to sort of explain to them, you know, look, I know, because having said, look, they don't just give degrees away, you have to work for them, and now they were just giving me one, which I hadn't worked for, and I hope that they don't get the wrong end of the stick, but yeah, it's, no, I wasn't very good at school, were you?
Well, you say that, but you have one A level.
I did get a D in religious studies, thank you very much.
In religious studies?
Yeah. Yeah. And I got an ungraded in the others, I think it was, yeah, so...
I didn't have any A-levels. I didn't go to college.
No, you didn't bother?
I didn't bother. I got a job at Radio Top Shop instead, so...
Straight out into the University of Hard Knocks.
Or cheap underwear.
It's only a matter of time, though, surely, before you get awarded a honorary doctorate from Leeds, isn't it, I think?
I'm sure it will be.
See, I don't know, because Leeds is a funny place where there are many famous people associated with Leeds of varying degrees.
Yeah. Mm.
So on one hand, there's me and Mel B.
But you've already been a Yorkshire Post Young Achiever, haven't you, when we went to that ceremony? Do you remember when they're honouring these kids who are like 12 and 13 and you're about 34?
That's not true.
There are all these kids, like, you know, real achievement, people who had, you know, helped to bring up sick relatives and had a post round since they were six, and then you were there.
It's like winning the Critics' Choice at the Pride of Britain's Awards, you know what I mean? You kind of really don't... Well, I'm very proud of that. I have that award in my bathroom. Yeah. It's a Yorkshire Young Achiever
Award.
We
had a free meal out of it, didn't we? It was Ellen Road, wasn't it? It was quite nice.
It was nice.
Yeah. Very nice.
But no, I've only got GCSEs. I didn't do it. So I've got no A-levels, I've got no degree. But if maybe I will get a... an honorary degree. It's either me, Mel B, Jimmy Savile, or Alan Bennett. It's one of us is going to get one.
I think it should be you. I think it should
be you.
I think so.
That's very kind.
Mel B will fight you for it, won't she?
Yeah.
Alan Bennett might fight me for it. You just never know.
He might do. That would be good. I'd pay to see that fight.
Me, Alan Bennett.
Take that on a Saturday night at 3 in the morning.
Alan Bennett.
Oh, well, look, let's play a record. In fact, Jack, as a big fan of Radio 1, which I know what you are in that, we are celebrating this is the Maid of Vale thing, right?
No, this is
something else. I don't know.
It's our first day back. We're a little bit rusty. I do apologise.
You know, Jack, every Monday night at 9 o'clock on Radio 1, it's documentary time where we revisit the music of the people that shaped the decade.
Of course.
And you know that tonight we're at the year 2001.
Yes.
Because last week it was the year 2000, of course.
Oh, I see.
What's next week?
It doesn't say.
Just random.
Yeah. So these are some, we have some tracks from 2001, and you can choose which song we play.
Okay.
Do you like this?
Do I have to remember what came out in 2001, or have you got a choice?
I have a list.
Oh, a list.
I have a choice. And feel free to say if you've never heard of them.
Yeah.
One of these, all right. Okay, so we have... Is that the list there on the screen, Al? But we don't... That's not them, just these. Right. Yes. Stereophonics, Have a Nice Day.
Yeah, I like them.
Starlight by Supermen Lovers.
Don't know that.
Right. Would it help if I played a bit?
Would it be good if I...
Yeah, you probably would, actually, if you heard them.
Yeah,
I'm
sure I'd recognise them.
I'll put money on it that it doesn't make a blind bit of difference.
Okay.
Let me forward through a little bit. Hang on. This is Superman Lover, Starlight.
Right. That's a bit of a Lounge Lizard number, isn't it?
Right, okay, fine. Romeo by Basement Jacks. You need to be my rope. Do you want to hear about that?
Yeah, go on. Yeah.
Okay, let's keep going.
Okay.
S-Club 7, Don't Stop Moving.
Oh, you gotta know.
I already don't want to hear any of that.
Oh, you gotta know. Oh.
Feeder, Buck Rogers.
Feeder, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Right. Or I'll give you another one. I'll give you F-E-A-R by Ian Brown.
Oh, would I like that?
I think you would. I really do. Do you want it?
A little taster first, before I buy.
Okay, this is Ian Brown.
Yeah. That sounded good.
Mm.
And this is Feeder.
That's a bit more early morning. I like the idea of that.
You're right. If I would say if you were going for the cool vote, you would go for Ian Brown. If you're going for the jump out of bed, you'd go for Feeder.
I think it probably is Feeder, isn't it? That makes me feel like I'm...
It's like you're a Radio 1 DJ, Jack.
Already, yeah.
Right, chosen by Jack D. Especially for you, this is Feeder. It's 8:22. Yeah! Chosen by Jack D. Radio 1 FM's hottest brand new DJ. You hear him Monday mornings from 3 till 10 past for a confusing hour of R&B and hip-hop.
I'm looking forward to starting.
Right, let me play some music. Right, what else have I got to talk to you about? Check it out. Oh, by the way, the story of the noughties is tonight at 9 o'clock on the year 2001. So if you want to remind yourself of that year, then tonight, 9 o'clock, they're nice little documentaries. Mm. The only problem that I have with it is the fact that I refuse to call that decade the noughties.
Oh, I was just about to say, it annoys me that.
But I had a conversation with my friend Dean about this recently, and he went, well, you literally have a couple of months to come up with something, and then that's it.
Yeah. Should be the 2000s, though, surely. You know, 70s, 80s, 90s was easy.
Yeah,
noughties like just sounds rubbish. The 2000s would be better, wouldn't it?
The first 10 years of the 21st century, wouldn't that have done it?
That's nice.
You know, it's succinct. It tells you where you are.
Now, do you have the teenies next? What's the next?
Well, it'd be the tens next, wouldn't it?
Is it the tens?
The teens, I suppose.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Well, what do you call it?
I find that the people who call that decade, or this decade, the noughties, are the same people that refer to Madonna as Madge.
Yes, they're annoying people, aren't they? Yeah, she's not right.
Yeah. She's not Madge, she's called Madonna. And people who call Sir Paul McCartney, Macca.
Yeah, and people who call Jordan Kate Price.
Right.
Yeah.
That's so wrong.
She's Jordan, always
she's
has
not.
Been.
She's not, she's Jordan.
Where do you stand on the Jordan Peter Andre scenario?
Well, I have I'm guilty of having watched some of it through the crack of the door because my wife and daughter watched Katie did next.
Yeah.
Right. I was thinking it was the next chapter, but of course that was Peter Andre,
right.
And I found it very very spiritually uplifting that she had managed to move on from her marriage just 2 weeks afterwards. She's got extraordinary fortitude, I think, that woman.
But also, I mean, what luck to then find a single available cross-dressing cage fighter.
It doesn't happen.
No, but that seldom happens. I read with despair today that it looks like possibly their relationship might be going through some difficulties of its own, and we can only wish them all the very best. But to find a single available cross-dressing...
I think the best we can do is just respect their privacy.
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah.
They don't want anybody intruding.
No.
Let them deal with it in private.
It's a difficult time for them. I think we should just leave well alone.
I'll tell you what, though, Farrow, you should get in there with Jordan. She makes a fortune. You could have a bit of that, can't you? You passed. Give over. 10% of that coin. You must be crackers.
Gary Farrow, ladies and gentlemen, everybody's favourite. Everybody's favourite.
They said today that actually she's been turned down for a visit to see the troops in Afghanistan because army leaders fear that she might be using the trip to publicise her own, you know. Amazing that should be suggested, that she could be using it as a self-publicity trip.
Oh, I don't think so.
No.
Have you ever met her?
I was going to say, I don't think so again. I don't think I have met Jordan. No.
Have you met Katie?
I met Peter Andre once in a hotel, in a hotel bar actually, and he was very nice.
He's nice,
nice fellow. Yeah,
he's nice.
He came out and said he'd been watching my DVD on his coach, so that makes him a nice person.
Sure,
in my book.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Anybody who likes your stuff.
I've been longing to meet the person who bought it.
Don't say that. You do very well, but now there is a book.
There's a book out. Yeah.
Which is Jack D, Thanks for Nothing.
Yes.
This isn't your first book, though, is it?
It is my first book.
Is it really?
Yeah, my first ever book. Obviously, I've read some books before, but this is the first one I've written. And it's about the first 25 years of my life.
Cool.
Yep.
So. And written yourself?
Yes, yes.
By yourself?
By myself, yes.
On a
laptop in a room on my own.
How did you find that?
I quite enjoyed the process. I enjoyed getting into the actual actually getting into that bubble of writing and being just left alone and doing it and having to do it. I go into an office. I don't write at home because I know if I do that, I just mess around all day and you know the dogs want walking and stuff like that. You've got to empty the dishwasher, so I go into this little office which has got no view and nothing on the walls. And people say, "Do you want us to decorate this for you? Make it look nice?" I said, no, because the whole point of that room is there's nothing you can do in there except work.
Right, good
and,
idea.
And it really does focus the mind. And so I just got on with it, and I really did enjoy it at times.
I was amazed because I wrote a book, and I've got the world's worst memory. I've got a dreadful memory.
Yes.
To the point where I asked if there is a partial amnesia, if there's such a thing, and I got told you just don't concentrate. But I remember trying to remember certain radio stations I worked at and people, and when you sit there and you force yourself to remember, the stuff that comes back...
It's incredible, isn't it?
It's amazing. And it's like, I found it weirdly, as much as it was a chore, I felt it was a kind of form of therapy.
Yes, it is like that. It's an amazing thing, the mind, and all those details that you can come back with have always been there, and yet it just took you to sort of start writing, and then it emerges, all the stuff. And dates and stuff like that, I'm not very good at. I make an apology for that at the beginning of the book.
That's
and I'll
fine.
Say, if you're at school with me and I got the date wrong, I don't want to know. You know, don't get in touch. You know.
When I did mine, I had a fabulous conversation with a lawyer, which lasted for way too long. And I was saying, when I read other people's books, and they're recounting a story from 1988, and they go, he looked at me and said, listen, we've been having a think. And I'm like, how do they remember word for word what was said? Mm. And the lawyer just goes, look, as long as it's roughly right.
An approximation has to be, doesn't it?
He said, because otherwise the book would be full of, I can't remember what he said, but it was along the lines of, every conversation would be, he didn't actually say this, but...
Don't really remember it. It's not really libelous, is it?
I wouldn't think that would stand up in court.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Right.
Yeah.
What Jack has also done with this book, as well as chosen some pictures and written some words and posed for the cover, as well as then getting into contractually obliged interviews on the radio. You've done the audio book.
I've done the audio book, which is doing very well, and it's I enjoyed doing that, actually going and reading it out.
Did you Did you not find it difficult to be yourself reading your own words, or did you...?
Well, no, because actually one of the things I did when I was writing was I read it out loud to myself all the way along anyway, because... Right. And it was just a way of making sure that I wasn't being a bit naff, you know. If you read it out loud, it's a way of telling... You can immediately tell, oh, that's being a bit pretentious, you want to rewrite that, you know, because I know from... If I can hear it in my head, right. I know if it's me or not.
I don't think it sounds like...
Have you done an audiobook of yours?
Yeah.
Because I've read your book. They sent me a copy of that. It was nice.
Oh, really?
It felt like you had fun writing it. Because it, you know...
I never know whether it means sarcastic or serious.
It's one of those things. No, it did. It was...
Okay. Well, thanks.
We won't. It sounds like I'm being, you know, I'm sucking up to you now. I'm embarrassed.
Don't be embarrassed, Jack.
Tell me more about how you love my book.
I want to play a little bit of the audio book of Jack reading his book, because, as I said, I talked about this before. I find it odd when you're trying to quote yourself in your own voice.
But, yeah.
There are certain points in the book where I think your voice changes and you kind of come out of character a little bit. I've listened to the whole thing.
Okay.
Here's a clip of Jack reading from his audiobook. Mm.
The first thing you should know about me is that I'm an only child.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's very significant. Every now and then I'll signpost something that I think is highly significant by saying that it's significant.
Right. Mm. Again.
It's this terrible alter ego I have that occasionally emerges. And, you know, when we were recording it, a couple of times I said, you know, you're sounding a bit West Country again.
Yeah.
And I say, am I again? I don't believe it. Oh, come in here. I want to give you a hug for telling me that.
Wow.
And this started to happen a bit. But no, I'm embarrassed that they kept that bit in.
This is chapter 4.
Mm.
My family, friends, and I are mildly bewildered by the attention.
Mm. There you go. That's Barack Obama.
Yeah, I know.
Very weird.
These voices come over me. Right.
But this is the worst, though. I've got to say, this is chapter 11.
I rarely meet my benefactors, except when they come to my television shows masquerading as ordinary people.
There is that chapter 11 is notorious, because I just waffle on and on and on about nothing.
You
cannot
believe how much work that took just for that tiny little joke. The work that went into it, right, we'll go for that book, we'll go for that. And we believe, are we still working on the rest, or is that
two
it?
Two more may pop up at any time.
The rule of three is always good.
Yeah,
exactly.
Not five.
I rarely meet my benefactors, except when they come to my television shows.
Well, there we are. I don't know what happened in our development as a species.
I don't want to give the rest away. But that's a teaser. If you want to hear the rest, why not do what Stephen Fry does? And download Jack reading the audiobook and put it on your iPod. And then when you go running, or if you walk, you can listen to it and be entertained. It'd be like you're walking or running with Jack.
I like doing that. Oh. I don't listen to my own book that way.
Sure.
But I do like walking around listening to a book.
Mm.
That's great.
I like the idea of you running, listening to your own book. I think that would be good.
I don't know what happened in our development as a species. What unfortunate...
Sorry. Oh, Dave, you all right? Are you coughing again?
You know, I thought that might be an opportune moment while you're playing that clip to turn around and clear my throat, but it wasn't, because then you stopped and then you looked at me.
You've come back from your holiday with something unpleasant, have you?
I've caught something on the flight, I believe.
God.
Yeah.
Where did you go?
I went to Florida for a week with a family, which is what I told you.
That's why you catch things on the flight, because you sit in economy, spend some money. Sit at the flight.
I caught
three corporates on the way back from New York.
There's no evidence to suggest that there's more disease in economy than there is in first class or even Club World.
We thought it was first there and Club World back.
Right.
Please stop. I know you're joking.
They don't
so
the
many
flight.
People who won't know that. They'll think that you're serious.
Well, the truth is, you just get a bit more space around you in the first class. So if someone coughs, it's less likely to hit you in the face.
it's all the same air conditioning across the whole plane.
Well, you carry on flying economy. Good luck,
mate. That's what I say to myself. It's fair to say that there is less chance of you having a really irritating family from Bristol sat behind you kicking lumps out of your chair for 8 hours.
Tis true.
Unless you're sitting first and Justin Lee Collins and his family sitting behind you, eating bags of crisps, salt and shake, all the way there.
Hello to the family who was behind us all the way back. Thank you for that.
Were they nice?
Hey?
Were they nice?
Their kids kicked lumps out of the chairs for 8 hours.
Well, there you go.
What, you pays your money, you take
it. Very true.
Never happened in first class unless the child in question has got extremely long legs and they're on the way to some kind of bizarre Guinness Book of Records freak show. Anyway, look, we need to do the news. So let's do the news and we'll be back with more of Jack D. In fact, I might even let you choose another song to play after your success last time. Jack D's book is called Thanks for Nothing. It's out now. It's a perfect gift for Christmas, everybody.
Digital.
FM.
Online.
This is BBC Radio 1.
If you can't wait, buy two copies, one for a friend and one for yourself. And the audiobook to go running with.
That's three copies, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, two book and then one audio.
Right, still right. Three copies, though.
Well, yeah, but there'll be different prices. Anyway, let's get the news. It's 8:37.
And our main story this... I don't know what... Do you know what? Can we start again? Because I've played the sport.
Do you know what? I screwed up as well. I don't know if you faded up.
I played the thing twice and then we've suddenly gone into the sport.
Oh, dear.
I'm sorry about this, Jack.
Bear with us, Jack. Sorry.
That's all right.
Mm. And the Sony nominee goes too. Yeah.
This doesn't really happen. We're really slick normally.
Do you want me to fill for 20 seconds?
Yes.
Can you?
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Well, is this how it normally happens on radio? That you just... Any time you feel ready to start reading, then... Just go with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah, this is the 8:30 news, 8:38.
I'm learning so much.
I'm ready now, Jack.
Can I ask, by the way, is this you filling?
Yeah. Sure. It wasn't very good, was it? It wasn't very good. I immediately wish I hadn't said that. I could start filling now. We'll have the news at about 10 past.
No, we're good. We're all right. Dominic, you ready?
Yeah.
So go, no, go for launch.
Digital.
FM.
Online.
This is BBC Radio 1.
Jack D chooses more Radio 1 playlist music after the news. It's 8:38.
8:41 now.
There's a possibility. Sorry about that, Dominic.
Possibility.
We were just talking about different things.
Yeah. Just chatting about different promotional things. Outlets.
Yeah, if you hadn't started the news so late, we would have got that.
Yeah, sorry, Jack.
Yeah.
That was my fault.
So, Dominic.
Yeah.
Tell your brilliant Jack D story.
Which one?
There's only one.
Oh, yes. This is when we did the show from Aberystwyth, I think, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. I wanted to tell the story and then hear Jack's response.
Okay, well, we came back from a night out in Aberystwyth, Jack, and we were staying in this hotel come B&B.
The spooky place.
Yeah.
It was very nice.
But spooky.
The poshest we have in Aberystwyth.
Let him tell his story. Yeah. It's a great story.
We walked into the hallway area.
Yeah.
And there was a closed door there. And we opened the door, as you do, because we're curious as a species. And you were sat there in a leather armchair with a whiskey. And I kind of smiled and you looked as though you wanted to kill me. And then I walked out and shut the door again. I then told Carrie that Jack D is in there. And she did exactly the same thing. And you had this kind of... A very regal look about you. It was amazing. First time I've seen you.
I can explain. In the Highlands, a lot of hotels have lookalikes of me. It promotes the image of the place. It makes it look a bit better to have someone who looks like me sitting in a leather armchair drinking whiskey.
Amazing. Yeah.
Could have been a waxwork. Yeah. We never know.
Do you know what's bizarre about this story is the fact that then Dominic. You proceeded to tell everybody that Jack D was behind the door.
It's Jack
right?
D. He's, you know, there's Jack D.
So people were walking past the door from our show doing that thing of, I just walked by and look. So you walk by and you go, oh, there's Jack D. Now, do you want to know the most bizarre about this story?
What?
Is the fact when I met Jack last year for the first time properly, Jack said, oh, we kind of met. Well, we never meet before, but I saw you once at the hotel.
Yeah, well, I was aware that you were there. I didn't. Yeah. I don't like to push myself onto people and go.
No.
Oh, I'm going to go and gate crash Miles's party. I'm a stand up, and I just have a moment on my own after a show.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing that you recognise me and everyone of my team as we walked past the door and had a little stare.
Every one of them, I knew. Yeah, yeah.
He said, "Oh yeah, Dominic was there and Carrie was there. I saw them all go by and stare at me."
I'm sorry. I should have come over.
No, you were. You know what? You were just relaxing on your own. It was absolutely fine. Yeah. It was us who were being idiots.
We would have been quite annoying because we were quite worse for wear.
When we say you were on your own, what we meant was you were surrounded by a gaggle of beauties and people hanging under your every word.
Yes, I was. I was just being a raconteur.
Sure.
You were signing early manuscripts of your book, which is now out.
Before it had even been thought of. Yeah. I was still already signing copies.
What, Thanks for Nothing, the book by Jack D,
which
is out now.
Yeah. Right. But these are the early notes.
Exactly. So do you want to choose another song?
Oh, please. Yeah, I enjoyed doing that.
So you have a choice. I'm going to give you Ian Brown again.
I like the beginning of that. That's nice.
It's nice. It's called F-E-A-R.
But then the drum machine hits in and then
it's great all the way through.
After that.
Shall I forward through again? And there's something really fascinating and interesting about this song, which people who love the song either know, or even people who love the song, they don't know.
Forgive everybody and remember.
Okay, 13 Brown.
Quite good, yeah.
And every line of the song is four words, and it's, they begin F-E-A-R.
Oh, I see.
Which also spells fear.
So what's the song called?
F-E-A-R.
F-E-A-R. Mm. But... did you not know that, Alex?
I did not.
F-E-A-R, every line.
Forget everything and remember. Forget everything and remember. See?
Isn't that clever? That,
yeah, it is clever, but it limits you a bit, doesn't it? If you're trying to stick to that.
And there is...
And the first two words are forget everything, and then all you can come up with is and remember as the second part.
Yeah. And there's a line in there where it doesn't work, and they kind of let the rule go for a bit. So there's that choice, which is Ian Brown, or you can have Green Day. Know Your Enemy.
Yeah.
Which has guitars that come in around about now. Or there's Alexandra Burke and her song about the bad boys.
Yeah.
From X Factor.
I like Alexandra Burke. I think she's good, yeah.
So which one now?
Seems like a nice person.
She's a nice person. Yeah. But the question is, though, Jack, forget her. Which one are you going
to
go for?
Well, I think Green Day sounded like the kind of beat that we're trying to get to here.
Green Day?
Yeah.
The kind of beat which we're trying to get to here.
This is my hit Radio 1 parlance I'm giving you.
I like it.
Yes.
Cowabunga.
This is the kind of thing I like to listen to in discotheques.
when you're getting on down.
When you're sat in a leather chair reading copies of your own manuscript.
In Aberystwyth, yeah.
Right, OK, here it is then, chosen by DJ Jack D. D.O. Lons or something. Is that right?
Yeah.
OK. It's Green Day, it's 8:47. As chosen by Jack D, that's Alexandra Burke and Bad Boys. Are you all right?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. I enjoyed that.
Mm. Jack D, I have a couple of questions for you. Mm. Almost interview-like questions, if that's like proper interviews.
Yes.
First of all, on my notes about you, it says Jack has 753 followers on Twitter.
Do I? Yeah, but there's someone called Jack D.
It's not you.
No, it's not me, no. Someone who's an imposter.
Right.
He's one of these lookalikes, and I believe he hangs out in this hotel in Aberystwyth drinking whiskey, twittering from a leather armchair. But yeah, it's not me, so you're wasting your time, whoever you are.
Are you on the Facebook?
No, I don't do
none
Facebook.
Of that.
My kids all do it, but I don't know. I see, the thing is, it's an awful thing to say, but I actually don't want to get in touch with anyone.
Sure.
I don't want to know. I know the people I want to know about, I know about. I've got their phone numbers.
If they were that important, you'd have stayed in touch.
To be honest, yeah. Sure. There's a reason we weren't in touch.
Yeah.
Somebody texted a question earlier, and this is like a proper interview question, so I'm going to read it out. What makes you laugh, Jack D? Because I'm sure you've never been asked that before.
No, that's never. That's a new one for me. That's a good question, really. I laugh. I'm easy to make laugh. You know what? Everyone thinks, oh, you're not going to laugh at anything. I'm really quite easily pleased. And I have a very broad kind of taste in comedy. And I like everything from really... I listen to anything from Lenny Bruce right the way through to... I was gonna say the Chuckle Brothers, but that would have been taking it too far.
Fat TV Burp.
I love that show. I think that's great, and I love the fact that there's a sort of resurgence now of actual family television, stuff you can all watch together and all enjoy at different levels, and so on. I think that's a good example. Yeah,
I watched TV Burp last night with my parents and my girlfriend. The four of us sat in our living room and watched, and it's a show that
they love it.
You know,
but the writing in it is beautiful.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I mean, it's just so well put together, I think.
And they all just spend hours watching tapes and
absolutely.
Stuff. Yeah. And that's good stuff, that.
Do you have any guilty pleasures?
Guilty pleasures? Oh, God, I eat too much. Occasionally I drink too much. And, I try to keep on top of it, though, Chris, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Go for the odd run, but I'm not very good at that.
Really?
Odd rum?
Run.
Okay. Well, I've been drinking too much, I've got to be on a rum.
Yeah, exactly.
Put my tracksuit on.
Caribbean Calypso evenings.
Some rum.
Yeah.
And Shooting Stars, which is great.
It's good. Yeah, that's fun to watch.
What a gig you have!
I know, I know. I just turn up and look miserable, and I can't add to anything they do because they are really a comedy tour de force in their own right, and you can't contribute. I've learned very quickly on that show, so I just have to sit there. I'm almost like a prop on that show, I do sometimes think, I've got the best seat here because it's just great to be so close to seeing them work, and they are interesting the way they come up with stuff. And so much of it is just kind of, you know, spontaneous. And other stuff you think, I can't see that working on the night. And they just get it right, and it's they've got great instinct.
But in a weird way, as much as it's an easy gig for you sitting there, but your job on there is to not laugh.
Mm. Which is, at times, it is challenging. It is challenging, because I know as soon as I start laughing too much, that's it, I'll be out, I don't know. So it is difficult. And when they're doing that thing with the tubes and stuff, I'll be honest with you, because I know no one's listening, I can tell you this, I found it quite hard when they're blowing through the tubes at me and that, you know, a lovely moment.
Do you know who all the guests are?
When they arrive, no, I get briefed up.
Right.
But they've had some fantastic guests on that show.
They have, but then in the style of Vic and Bob, they often get the odd random person on that you do go...
occasionally. But we had Dizzy Rascal on it. And
Dizzy was good, and
he was good fun. Although he really can look a bit scary at times. You think, is he enjoying this, or is he going to sort of kick off in a minute?
He's a pussycat. He really is. He's a pussycat.
He's very sweet and delightful.
Ricky Wilson was on it.
Yes, he was on it. Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to think who else.
He was good on there, wasn't he, Ricky?
We had Ricky on it.
He loved that, by the way. That he was, because I'm friends with Ricky. He was saying it was like a dream come true to
Bless
be on that
him,
show.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Again, he sat there and said, I just had the best time. I just sat there and I just laughed for like several hours.
Well, that's the great thing. In a way, it's a harder gig for a comedian to come on, because then, you know, there's almost like an expectation that they're going to start cracking jokes. Mm. But jokes don't work in that format. No. In that world, you don't, you know, it's all about Vic and Bob's comedy universe, and there's nothing you can do to alter that.
You just take part, really, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And Ulrika's very good at that. Did you like the fellow on the other side?
Yeah, I did. And then the last show I saw, he wasn't on.
Was he not on the last one?
Sure, well, no.
The last one I saw, he actually took part in the challenge, did he not, at the end?
Maybe it was a Christmas one that you watched that he might not have been on.
In October?
I'm trying to think if he did. No, he can't. I don't know. Maybe we should...
I thought there was one where he wasn't on.
I don't... Well, if there was, I must have missed that one.
Yeah.
I think I saw...
People are texting now and tell me that I'm either right or I'm either wrong.
There'll be one from Vic in a minute.
Hmm.
We get our suits from the same place.
Do you?
Yes.
You get them made. Where is that? In Berwick Street?
Oh, Mr. Eddie?
Yes, so I get it as well, yeah. Shall I tell you something about that? When I first went there years and years and years ago, and my manager took me along there, said, you're going to love this bloke. He makes all the suits for the stars. So I went in, I met Mr. Eddie, and I said, so who do you make stars for? Suits for? And he said, Robbie Coltrane. And at the moment, I'm making a suit for the PG Tips chimpanzee. I said, right, well, I'll have a medium.
Yeah, you're somewhere in between both of them.
Well, but the arms are a bit long on it, but otherwise I was pleased with it. Yeah.
I saw Jack at, I mentioned this earlier, at Jonathan Ross's Halloween party last year, and Jack D was dressed in a fabulous outfit. Jack D was the Joker.
Yeah, the big green...
No, the Riddler.
The Riddler with the green suit with the question marks all over it. Yeah.
That was very nice.
That was all right, yeah. I just got that from a dressing up shop, you know, one of those party shops.
Now, did you rent it or did you buy it?
I rented it, because I'm cheap at the end of the day.
And what are you going to do with it once you own it?
I took it back, and I won't. I mean, obviously they've probably got it framed now.
Sure,
I imagine. Yeah. I imagine that's what they will have done.
I think Robbie Coltrane's wearing it this year. That's what I have you chosen your outfit? Because it's a big deal. It's a big fancy dress party.
Last year, I saw the photos of you at this party because they were in the paper. And did you not sort of put flour on your face?
What happened was I got invited. And we were going to go, and then the day of it, we drove around every fancy dress shop in North London, and there were either queues to get in or everything was sold out.
Yeah.
So I spoke to weirdly, that day, I spoke to Jimmy Carr. Mm. And Jimmy goes, you got your outfit. Everyone makes a massive effort. Yeah. You can't just stick some stuff on your face and go. And I'm like, really? He goes, oh, everybody makes a huge effort. It's a huge fancy dress party.
Yeah.
So the pressure was on. And I'm like, well, what do we do? So we stopped at a fancy dress shop, and the only thing we got was some fake blood and some kind of white kind of face paint. Mm. So me and Sophie said, well, let's not bother, because we're going to look stupid if everyone's turned up in these amazing outfits. So we won't go. So I sit down to watch EastEnders, and Sophie goes, I'll have a play with this kind of white face
paint. Yeah.
So she starts putting it on.
On you or her?
On her. Right. She's going, can you see anything there? And I'm like, yeah, look, your cheeks are going a bit white. And she goes, oh. So she disappears into the bathroom, and she keeps going with it. And then she literally walks into the room 15 minutes later. She's just got a white face and really black eyes.
Yeah.
And she's just looks like some kind of scary ghosty lady. And I'm like, Christ almighty. Then she goes, is that all right? I'm like, yeah. So then she gets the fake blood and dribbles it down the side of her mouth. And she goes, I'll do yours now. So she does mine. And then we're looking at each other. And now EastEnders has just finished. And I'm like, let's go. We look fine and we'll go.
Yeah.
So I just wore a suit. I wore a white jacket and whatever and white face and all of that. And I went. I didn't really go as anything, just like a scary zombie.
It was a good effect, wasn't it? And I'll tell you, yeah, go on.
And so I get there, and it was just after the whole scandal with, you know, the sax thing and all of that. And I walk in, and Alan Carr's there, and he's screaming, laughing as normal. He goes, oh, brilliant, you've come as a dead waiter. Brilliant. And I went, no, I haven't come as a waiter. Oh, my God, I've come as a...
But
oh
it did
God.
Look like you could have been dressed up in
style. I've come as Andrew Sachs. Oh, my God. But... it was great. It was a nice... And then David Walliams turns up in a normal suit and you go, well, do you know what? I'm glad I made the effort now.
Yes, exactly.
He looks like David Walliams.
I'll tell you who was quite impressive was Charlie Brooker. Did you remember? He had an incredibly lifelike looking bullet wound right in the centre of his forehead that you could almost put your finger into.
Yeah.
And the rest of him looked normal, but he just had this very real... It was almost like an unwanted note of realism he'd added to the occasion.
And then, as if we weren't making this up, Dizzy Rascal turned up as Dracula or something.
Yeah.
Really?
Honestly. Just as the night couldn't get any more surreal. Mm,
yeah.
And he just walks in and goes, all right. And you go, Dizzy, dressed as wow. And he goes, that's all they had left in the shop, innit? Nice to meet you. And you go, what a bizarre evening. What a weird evening.
It was good.
But
good.
So have you chosen your outfit? Do you know what
No, I haven't. I'm still fretting over it. Sure. And I was thinking I was going down the same line of doing some white makeup and making myself look ghostly.
It's good. It's a good look.
It is a good look.
I can't do it again, though, surely, if that was your outfit last year.
Well, you know, you could just adapt it. But, you know, but the weird thing is you forget you have a face like that, and then, you know, on the way home, you pop into the garage to pick up some fags and some milk, and the person behind is literally like that, we have no money. And you're like, what? Sorry, I've got change.
I have a suggestion. Go as Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
Yes, but that's not Halloween, though, is it?
Oh, yeah.
It's not scary
It would be
enough.
If you dressed as her.
It would be fairly scary.
Quite funny.
It would be fairly scary.
If you got those legs out, that could be very scary.
Oh, yeah. Well, wouldn't be for the first time.
Well, sure. Jack, lovely to see you. Thank you for coming
in. Thank you for having me.
Love the family. Jack's new book, Thanks for Nothing, is out now. And you can buy it and keep it and buy copies for loved ones. And the audio book, if you want to download that and listen to Jack reading with his own beautiful... unique voice.
Mm. And why wouldn't you?
Lovely to see you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having
me. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Jack D. You don't have to go. You can just sit there. It's all right. It's just radio. No one
it's just like a little chapter end now, and then we move on to something else.
Exactly. Right. Okay. We're running very late, but sounding very great.
Great.
Like that. Yeah, with that, eh? All right, Jack D. Lovely. Go and buy his book. He's a nice man. He needs the money. Down to his last billion. 16.